So we're starting the Shechachim Parshas Kisavo, and I wanted to start on page Tav Hei Zayin, a little bit more than halfway down the page, the right-hand column, Hashkifa M'ma'an Kachecha, the second one. Right? The Pasuk is talking about the bringing of Bikurim. I'm sorry, the Pasuk is talking about the Vidui Maestros, and Perek Chav Vav, Pasuk Yudeis, at the end of the third year, you should bring all of the maestros that you owe and distribute them. Pasuk Yudeis, Kisachal Olaaseh is called Maaseh Tvuoscha Vashon HaShlish Yishmas HaMaaseh, V'nosatol Alevi Lagel Oyosom V'lo Amono V'yachu V'sharecho V'sodeh. You should distribute the maestros to the impoverished people, the convert, the orphan, the widow. They should eat everything that you owe them. You give out the Maaser Ani. And then you make a declaration. I got rid of all my Maaseres. I gave it to all the people I need to give it to. The Levi, the Ger, the Yosam, the Amona. I ate it. I did with it everything I was supposed to do with it. Pasuk Tesvav, Hashkifa Mima'an Kachicha, you Hashem, look down from your holy abode, from heaven, and bless the Jewish people and the land which you have given to us, as you have sworn to our forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. Why is the word ma'on, the abode of God, used specifically here? Look down from your holy abode, ma'on kadshicha. Right? Why is that word ma'on used over here? Right, so often, that's the word which is used. Why are you making such a decision? But the Meshech Chachma sees in the word ma'on a very, very important hashkafic idea which she's going to develop.
No pun intended
at all. Oh, hashkifa, he sees in it, very good, okay. It was so no pun intended that I didn't even get it after it was mentioned. Zot the Meshech Chachma, hashkifa mima'on kadshicha, Ha'inyon ki kasuv avi yisalmim v'dayin almanos elokim, the word is missing, b'ma'on kodsho. This is one of the psukim, it's a pasuk from Tehillim, one of the psukim that we say, Motzoi Shabbos and v'yiten lecha. Hashem is the father of orphans, and the one who takes up the judgment of the widows, meaning that he sticks up for the widows where nobody else will, ha elokim, b'ma'on kodsho. God is in his holy abode. There's that phrase again. He's in his holy abode, and in our pasuk as well, he's in his holy abode. V'yesh mirachamim al yisomim, aval einam b'veso, rak b'vayis pochos. Lo kein Hashem yisparach, hu megadlum kibonim b'ma'on kodsho. Beautiful pshat in the pasuk. What does it mean in Tehillim that Hashem is the father of orphans, God is in his holy abode? Right? What do the two halves of the pasuk have to do with one another? So it says Meshech Chachma, a beautiful pshat, it's not two halves of the pasuk, it's one continuous pasuk. Avi yisomim Elokim b'ma'an kodsho. God raises the orphans, so to speak, in his own home. Because there are people, says the Meshech Chachma, who are very happy to give money to yisomim, as long as they stay far away from me. Right? That's a certain attitude in society. I'll help out Aniyim, I'll help out those who are disadvantaged, as long as they don't move into my neighborhood. I mean, Chas v'Shalom, they move into my neighborhood, then I got a problem. But as long as they're over there, so then I can deal with them. Not so Hashem. Hashem is the Avi Yisomim, he's the father of orphans, Elokim b'ma'on kodsho. So to speak, God brings them into his own abode, into his own holy abode. He doesn't just help them from afar. He has such mercy on the Yisomim. It's as if they are brought into Hashem's own house. Again, obviously, the whole thing, it's all figurative, because Hashem doesn't have a literal house into which he can welcome the Yisomim, but the degree of care which he bestows upon them is like a father welcoming the children into his own house. The Mamash just started 2 minutes ago. We asked for you. So, no, it's okay.
We prayed for snow.
Well, we prayed for snow, right, yeah. So,
What else
could we say? We'll see in just a minute, right? So again, we're just holding on page Tav Pei Zayin, the bottom right hand column, Hashkifa Mima on Kachicha, where the Neshech Chachma has just explained that, you know, part of God's special benevolence that He shows to Yisomim is that He, so to speak, welcomes them into His own house, into His own Ma'on Kacho, His own holy abode. V'lochein Amar Nisativ Lager La'yosom V'lo Almano V'chulei V'lochein Hashkifa Mima'on Kachicha. That's why we turn to Hashem in this pasuk by the Vidui Maisrus, and we ask Hashem to look down from His holy Ma'on, from His holy abode. Because the holy abode, the Ma'on Kodesh, is a place which exemplifies Hashem's Rachmanus on Yisomim and Almanus. Hashem's Rachmanus that He has on those who are disadvantaged in society. So what's happening here in the pasuk, says the Neshech Chachma? Here in the pasuk we say, I've taken all the Maisrus that I own, and I gave it to all these disadvantaged people. I followed your lead, Hashem. I provided for these poor and impoverished people. So that's why I'm turning to you, look down, Davka, from your Ma'on Kodesh, from your holy abode, because we know that that holy abode is the place that Hashem associates. You know, that's the soft spot in Hashem's heart, so to speak, that He has for the Yisomim and the Almanas. So Mimela, look down from there and give us a bracha, because we too are emulating your ways and giving money to yourself and Almanos. So if you just stop there, it's already a beautiful Neshech Chachma, that basically there's a special place in heaven. You know, God has a special abode which symbolizes the relationship that He has with the disadvantaged, with the impoverished. And we have a unique ability to appeal to Hashem's connection to that special place when we ourselves take care of the disadvantaged, the poor, the impoverished, the Yisomim, the Almanos, the Gerim, etc. If we even just stop the Neshech Chachma there, that's a beautiful idea to link the Pasuk in Tehillim to the Pasuk here in Devarim.
Why are the Levium incorporated with the Yosef Amon of the Gear? I mean, they don't have land, but they have the 48 cities, they have these entitlements in terms of blessings. So why are they part of that other group?
So the Levium, as much as they had cities and probably were not as impoverished as the Yisomim and Almanos, but they were basically living off of these handouts. So they didn't really, they were called younger life. They were sitting and learning and teaching and doing all of that. And, they lived off of these handouts. So in a sense, they really were an impoverished group within Klal Yisrael who depended greatly on these contributions to keep going. So if we stop the Neshech Chachma there, it's already a beautiful Neshech Chachma, but he doesn't stop there. He keeps going. It says as follows. In Amar b'Chagiga, right, the Gemara says in Chagiga Perek Beis that Zvul, that there's a place in heaven called Zvul, right? Zvul is one of the terms used in Tanakh for heaven, for the heavens. U'michoel makriv karbon, it's a place that Hashem, that Michael is being makriv karbonos v'chule, right? So the quote you the Gemara exactly. 1 second. Over there it says that in the Zivul, Michael omed alakhu makriv alav karbon, that in Zivul is a part in Shamayim, a place in Shamayim where Michael, the great angel, is being makriv karbonos. Ma'on, and the Ma'on, right, which, again, is the abode, which is a different part in Shemayim. Shebo kitos shel malachei hashareis she'omros shira balayla v'choshos bayom Mifnei Kavodon Shel Yisrael. The other place, you know, Michael is in Zivul, being Makriv Karbonos, and the Beis HaMikdash itself, why is there an association between Zivul and Karbonos? So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, by Shlomo HaMelech, it says, Bono Bonisi Beis Zivul Loch, right? I have built a Beis Zivul, a place which is like a heavenly house for you, Hashem, a place where the Karbonos are going to be brought, right? And Ma'on is a place in heaven where the Malachi Hashores sing Shira to Hashem at night, but are silent during the day. Right? And, you know, the Gemara over there learns out that Zivul is actually on a lower level in Shamayim than Ma'on. Right? In other words, the Gemara talks about the Shiva Rikiyam, you know, there are seven different parts to heaven. So Zivul is considered to be a lower madrega in heaven than Ma'on. Ma'on is considered to be a higher place. So, says our Meshech Chochma, so if that's the case, so something very interesting emerges. Hare did Makom HaYisalmim Gavah Mimakom HaKarbanos. If it's indeed true that Zivul is a lower place in heaven than Ma'on, and Ma'on is the place where God, you know, shows his rachmanis on Yisomim, and Zvul is the place that's associated with Karbonos. So it comes out that the notion of showing rachmanis to those who are disadvantaged is considered from Hashem's perspective to be on a higher madrega than even bringing Karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash, because Zvul is a lower rung of heaven than Ma'on. And indeed, Kain Amru B'Sukkah, the Gemara says in Masech B'Sukkah, Perek Dalet, that the doing of staka, giving of staka, is considered to be greater than all the karbonos. Where we get this idea from? So says the Meshech Chochma, because, you know, you see that idea reflected in the very makeup of heaven. There's a higher place in heaven for being involved with Yisomim and Almanos and the like than there is even for the reception of karbonos and the being makriv karbonos by Hashem. That's a very, very interesting idea. So, but again, the Meshech Chochma was not just content with throwing that out, that idea, you know, showing us that heaven itself is structured in such a way that it corresponds to the priorities that the Gemara Sukkah talks about, that giving tzedakah is considered to be even greater than giving karbanos. He uses this to explain a fascinating discussion in Halacha, which about a year ago when we were learning Moed Katan, and this year we touched upon this as well. And he calls to HaMechadrim, the meleches chol hamoed mutter al yedei poel she'ein lo basar v'yayin l'sarach harega. Right? We saw when we were learning Moed Katan, there's a concept of poel v'ein lo malechol, a concept brought in the second parak of Moed Katan, that although many forms of work of melacha prohibited on chol hamoed, one of the permissible forms of work is that if a Jew needs to make money in order to be able to afford the meat and wine that he needs for Yom Tov, so he can basically fabricate some kind of work for him to do on Chol HaMoed in order to pay him that he should be able to get, you know, to use the money to buy Tzarchei Yom Tov, to buy the things that he needs for Yom Tov. The Al Karchin, the Simcha Sarego Mefurish Batzora, Lo Kein Isser Chol HaMoed, the Rakas Mechinu Akroi, Yehuyim B'Chagig of the Tzitz Staff Yudches, V'lochein Simcha Sarego Dochem Halacha. Right? He says, how do you make sense of this halacha? That you're allowed to have a poel, ve'ein lo malecho, that you can have this impoverished Jewish person do malacha and chol hamoed in order to earn money for basar v'yayin, for yomtiv. Right? How do you explain that notion? It must be as follows, that simchas yomtiv, the notion of his getting meat and wine for yomtiv, is obviously a derecha. Meleches chol hamoed is only derabbanan. So in terms of the scale of priorities, better that he should do work on Chol HaMoed in order to be Mekayim, the Din D'Oraisa, of Simchas Yom Tov, of Basar V'Yayin, on Yom Tov. Right? So that's one point, says the Meshech Chochma. U'matsanu, Shiposa HaRambam, to Din Yosam, Kodem, L'Din Talmud Chacham. On another point, says the Meshech Chochma, we find that if a bunch of people come to Beis Din all at the same time, and each of them has a case that needs to be adjudicated, So the Rambam writes that all things being equal, you give the Talmid Chacham precedence over an Am Haaretz. So everybody shows up at the same time at the Beis Din, and they all have cases that need to be heard. So the Talmid Chacham gets his case heard first before the Am Haaretz. It says the Rambam that if a Yassam shows up and he has a case that needs to be heard, so the Yassam, the orphan, gets precedence even over a Talmid Chacham. He goes first. You know, you saw him cut to the head of the line, right? The Kavan Shematzasa Shesimchas Moed Nidches Bifnei Talmid Chacham LeInyan Hesped De'ein Moed Bifnei Talmid Chacham Kol Shekein De Meleches Kol Amoed Nidches Bifnei Yisomim Da'adifei Min Talmid Chacham. So now he says, let's put it all together, right? We know that to some extent the laws of Kol Amoed are pushed aside for a Talmid Chacham. In what sense? So the halacha is you're not supposed to be masked in Kol Amoed. You're not supposed to eulogize in Kol Amoed. But nonetheless, the Gemara says also in Moed Katan at the end that Talmud Chacham b'fanav, that in the presence of the Talmud Chacham was passed away, you could be mastered even on Chol HaMoed. Right? So obviously we see that some of the laws of Chol HaMoed are relaxed somewhat because of the Talmud Chacham. Oh, so says the Meshech Chacham, now let's put everything together. The laws of Chol HaMoed are relaxed because of the Talmud Chacham. And a Yassam is considered to have precedence over a Talmud Chacham when it comes to being adjudicated first. So it must be, that's how Chazal saw that the laws of Chol HaMoed can be relaxed for a Yassam, or he's understanding Yassam is a catchphrase for anyone who's poor and disadvantaged. So in other words, it makes sense that we can allow a poel ve'ein lo ma'yochal, we can allow an impoverished worker to work for us on Chol HaMoed, even though he's violating Melechus Chol HaMoed, he's taking liberties with the laws of Chol HaMoed, but nonetheless, better to help out a Yassam or some other poor person, even at the expense of Chol HaMoed. Right, so the common thread of all these comments in the Meshech Chochma is, look at the greatness of supporting those who are impoverished, Yisomim, Almanas, and those who don't have anything. There's a special place in heaven, you know, that God comes from, that God relates to Yisomim and Almanos from. That place in heaven is higher than the place in heaven in which Hashem receives Karbanos, right? So in other words, Tzedakah is greater than Karbanos. We see that helping out a Yassam is considered to take precedence over helping out a Talmid Chacham, and that's how we see, ultimately, that helping out an impoverished person takes precedence even over Melechus Chol HaMoed, right? Because as important as it is not to do work on Chol HaMoed, it's even more important to arrange for the support of those people in Jewish society who possibly don't have enough, you know, to be able to support themselves. Right? So that's the common thread over here that the Meshech Chochma is putting together. You know, realize, I mean, what you're supposed to walk away from, I think, from the Meshech Chochma, is realize that helping out Yisomim and Almanos and poor people, especially, as he says at the beginning, not just helping them out from afar, but not just treating them like your own, bringing them into your house and taking care of them in a really, really special way, is on an unbelievable level. And that cuts across so many different areas in Torah, whether it be here, whether it be in terms of Karbanos, whether it be in pushing aside Melechus Chol HaMoed. Don't underestimate the value of helping out somebody who Pasha doesn't have what to be able to support themselves from. Again, a beautiful Meshech Chochma where he illustrates this idea in many, many different circumstances. Right, so he's saying, in other words, if it was just he needed money, stam, right? So maybe that would prove the Meshech Chochma's point. But here he's getting money with Tzarech HaMoed, right? So, how is that illustrative of his point that we're supposed to do anything to bend over backwards to help out a Yassam, to help out somebody who's impoverished? Maybe that's just a function of, you know, that the Moed, you know, that Yontif demands such a thing. It's a very good question. I don't know. I hear the question. And perhaps he would say, you know, perhaps he would say that, you know, okay, if that's just the issue, invite him out. You know, why do you have to get him money, you know, to provide for his needs? And get him invited out, right? But, you know, the fact that you're giving him money, they're giving the dignity of doing it. It's not just about Yantav, it's about providing, you know, in a dignified fashion. You know, and why should you give him a handout? You know, take out $100 and give him a handout. Why make him do work, right? So the idea of making him do work is more than simchas yantav. It's providing for him in a dignified fashion. That's the tzedakah, right? As the Rambam famously says, that the highest form of tzedakah you can give to somebody is to give him a job. You know, not just give him a, you know, a dollar every time that you see them in the street, right?
But not a shnari. Right.
So that consideration, that's not a yantav consideration. Out yantav, you could just give him $100 and say, okay, go buy whatever you want to buy. But the notion that you enable him to do work is part of the human dignity. That's not related to yantav, and that's a tzedakah issue already.
Okay,
maybe that's where the Meshech Chacham is coming from, you know, in terms of this point. Yes. Right.
This is an aside, but if you look at my own Kachka,
right.
Home is 166. Kachka is 424. That adds up to 590. 590, the Sefer HaChinuch is Shloma Hatlux Yishma Ker Biyosa.
Oh. Very interesting. Okay. So nice gematria to work with the Meshech Chachma. Okay, very good. Let's take a look at page Tav Peches. Right? Tav Peches. So, by page Tav Peches already, we're holding in Perek Chof Zayin. And Perek Chof Zayin Posik Tes. By Dabir Moshe Ba'Kohanim Halevim El Kol Yisrael Leimor. Moshe and the Kohanim, the Levim, spoke to the entire Jewish people saying, Haskes, the article translates that as be attentive, Ushra Yisrael, and listen, O Jewish people. Hayom azen yesa la'om, Hashem Elokecha. Today you have become a nation to Hashem your God. Mishamata b'kol Hashem Elokecha, you should listen in the voice of Hashem your God, Yosisa es mitzvoso v'yeschuka, Asher Anochi Mesavcha Hayom, you should perform His commandments, those which I command you today. So, commenting on these two psukim, which are really just kind of like standalone psukim in the Chumash, the Meshech Chacham says as follows: Mashadibru Halcha Halaviyah, Mashalamat Sanu Dugmasa Batara. You know, you find something very curious in these two psukim. This is the only time in Chumash that Moshe, the Kohanim, and the Leviyim speak to the Jewish people. Right? We have Moshe speaking to the Jewish people, we have Aaron speaking to the Jewish people, right? The notion that Moshe, the Kohanim, and the Levim as a group are speaking to the Jewish people is really unique to this particular circumstance. What's that? Where did the Kohanim and the Levim come into this position all of a sudden? I mean, generally speaking, it's Moshe who conveys the word of Hashem to the Jewish people. How did the Kohanim and the Levim get elevated to this status all of a sudden? And then it never happens again. I mean, the very next pasuk, Yud Aleph, Vayitzav Moshe Esau, Vayomahu Leimor. On that day, Moshe commanded the people, saying, where did the Kohanim and the Levim go to? Right? So, why is that? Nearly, Alpim Anisa B'Medrash Tarchum Anisav V'Yalkut. The Medrash says as follows: Shalosh Brisos Karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were three times that God made a covenant with the Jewish people. Achas Kishiyotsu Mimitzrayim. He made a covenant with the Jewish people when they left Egypt. Yachas B'Charev. And one at HaSinai. Achas Kan. And one here. Here meaning we're about to read how, you know, they're going to go to into Eretz Yisrael and Har Grizim and Har Evel and ratify the Bris, the covenant, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make with the Jewish people. Why did they do one here? Mimnesha Osa Kushakaras Imam Bukhare Bitlu Bo Egel. Because the bris, the covenant, which the Jewish people had made at Har Sinai, they had undone with the Maisa El Egel, the golden calf. Right? So it was necessary here in this last year before going into Eretz Yisrael for the bris between God and the Jewish people to be ratified once again, because after all, the Jewish people, in a sense, had broken the bris between themselves and Hashem you know, at Har Sinai because of the Ma'aseh Ha'egel. V'im Kain, so if that's the case, HaKohanim v'Halevim lo bitlu habris. Shelo hayu bo egel, chmo d'amir v'chagiga d'avav v'kamim v'komos. So the Kohanim and the Levim are a unique position because, in a sense, they're the ones who are still carrying on the bris with Hashem. They didn't participate in the making of the egel. Right? So, in a sense, Moshe and the Kohanim and the Levim, who are still partners to the bris, can now bring the rest of the Jewish people into the bris. It wouldn't make sense for Moshe to speak to the Kohanim Levim and the rest of the Jewish people, because the Kohanim Levim and the rest of the Jewish people at this point are in two separate categories. The Kohanim Levim are faithful to the bris. The Jewish people broke their bris with God by the Ma'aseh Ha'egel. Mimela, they need to re-ratify it. They need to renew the bris. The Kohanim and Levim don't need to renew the bris. So Moshe joins forces with the Kohanim and Levim to tell the rest of the Jewish people, now is the time to renew the bris. And he goes on to explain the Pesukim as follows. V'chein hocho shehayom hazen yeso la'om haynu v'krisas bris k'mosh kosav hasvarno l'chein rak al Yisrael aval ha'kohanim v'alevim lo bitlu bris harishon v'lochach heim ha'medabrim El Kol Yisrael. That's the intention of these psukim, says the Meshech Chochma. When it says Vaydaber Moshe VaKohanim Alavim El Kol Yisrael Leimor Haskes Ushma Yisrael Hayom Hazeh Yeso La'om Hashem Elokecha. Today you have become a nation to Hashem your God. What does that last phrase mean? Today you have become a nation to Hashem your God. So he quotes the Sfarno. The Sfarno says because today the Jewish people have re-ratified that bris, that covenant with Hashem, which had been allowed to lapse because of the Ma'aseh Ha'egel. Oh, so if the discussion over here is the re-ratifying of the bris, so again, that's what the pasuk means. Hayom hazeh yeso la'om Hashem Elokecha. Today you have become a nation by re-ratifying the bris once again. And who better to address the Jewish people on this occasion than the Kohanim and the Levim, who are still faithful to the original bris, but they have to bring the rest of the Jewish people on board with the position that they already occupy by being part of the bris. V'hinei v'bris harishon kiblu term sheshamu hamitzvos. We know that the first bris that they made at Har Sinai was accepted by the Jewish people before they really fully understood what they were getting into. After the Mishnah, u'kamosh pirshash v'shalos tekdim u'kumaychu la'adunak lu'udnaychu. Right, the Gemara there in Shabbos says that the Jewish people, put their mouths before their ears. Right, the Jewish people jumped the gun in Arsia. They said, "Now for the Mishnah." Right, so we always hold that up as being a tremendous example of the greatness of the Jewish people that they said, "Now for the Mishnah." But the Meshech Chochma says, "But you know, if you think about it, maybe that had something to do with the Egel." Because they jumped into it too quickly. They didn't really know what they were getting into. And maybe that, to an extent, enabled them to sin by the ego. Because maybe had they thought a little bit more before they said yes, and thought through the implications of their Kabbalah, of their acceptance, maybe they would have been stronger when the time came to make the ego, and they would have been able to resist, because they would have adopted Judaism thoughtfully and not rushed into it hurriedly. Fascinating. He doesn't say this quite out, but I think that's the implication of the Meshech Chochma. And if that's true, that's a very fascinating interpretation, because again, we usually understand that Nasa Venishma is the greatest thing that ever happened to the Jewish people. It's a great thing that we were so quick to do it. Meshech Chochma seems to be implying, again, we'll see the continuation, but he seems to be implying, on the one hand, it speaks volumes of the Jewish people that they were so quick to dedicate themselves to Hashem. On the other hand, maybe Taka, they jumped the gun a little bit. Maybe had they thought about it a little bit more, and again, hopefully they would have given the right answer being yes, but, had they thought about it a little bit more, maybe they would have been better prepared to resist the temptation of the Egel Azov. In contrast, here, where they accept the bris at the end of the 40 years, right before they're about to go into Eretz Yisrael, they're doing so after having learned the Torah. There's a big difference between this bris and the bris at Har Sinai. The bris at Har Sinai was, okay, whatever it is, we're going to take it. This bris, 40 years later, they've had the benefit of learning Torah for 40 years. They know full well what they're getting into. They're holding a Pashas Kisavu already. They've gone through, most of the Chumash. They understand what the bris brings with it. Ulochach Omar Haskes. That's pshat in this word in the pasuk. Haskes Ushma Yisrael. Right? Haskes, the article translates as be attentive. What do you mean, be attentive? So pashat pshat, it sounds like, listen up! Come on, everybody, wake up! Time to listen, what kind of lashon is that? Of course the Jewish people are going to listen attentively when Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking, right? Would we think otherwise? And all the other times where he didn't say haskes, they weren't listening attentively? What does this word add in this context? So he says as follows, Shov hetev im tucho lamod bo v'atakach ushma kabil alecho la'asosam. Haskes means give the matter some thought. Don't rush into it like you did by Har Sinai, where you said Nasa v'nishma. Yeah, it was gavaldik you said Nasa v'nishma. Unbelievable. But then, because you rushed into it so quickly, it disintegrated pretty quickly also. You decided overnight you were going to get engaged to the girl, right? You had one date with her, and then, you decided, okay, this is the one. All right, you ran into the decision in haste, and then, the decision kind of fell apart very soon thereafter. Good decisions are not made in haste. Right? That's what the Meshachachah seems to be reading in this pasuk. So now, 40 years later, Moshe tells the Jewish people, Haskes Ushma Yisrael. Think a little bit. Haskes. Think about it. Turn it over in your mind. Think about it. And then Shma Yisrael. What's Shma Yisrael? So Shma doesn't just mean hear in the auditory sense. He says Shma means to be makabel, to accept. Right? Before Shma Yisrael, before you, the Jewish people, are ready to accept Torah, first Haskes. Mull it over. Think about it. Give it a little bit of thought and understand what it is that you're getting into. Kshol heitevim tuchalamot bo. Think carefully. If you can really withstand the rigor of Torah, yachakachu shma kavel olecha la'asosam. And then you can say that you're ready to accept the Torah. Right, there's a pause, right, which works very, very nicely, right? There's a psik. Haskes, think about it. Give it some time. Ushma Yisrael, and then accept. And he says, Shalzeh mor eloshen shmiya kayodua. We know that shmiya, to be shomea something, means not just to hear it from an auditory perspective, but to accept it. Right? And thus he continues the pasuk, Hayom hazeh niyeso le'am. Since today you are becoming a nation by virtue of the bris, therefore, pasuk yud, v'shomato. Listen to the voice of Hashem your God and perform His mitzvos. Lo kein bibris hakodem bitlu hanase. Right? The implication is, says the Meshech Chochmah, not like you did before. This time I want you to think about it and then accept, so that your following, your performance of the mitzvos, it's going to be for real, and it's going to be lasting, as opposed to last time where you rushed into it, and that's why you fell apart so quickly, by the Maaseh HaEgel.
So is this bris kodem that the Meshach HaKadosh refers to, is that attached to the membership of the fact that the mountain was over their heads as a breath?
Therefore not significant, because
otherwise you have this breath above you.
Right, so he doesn't link the two, but it's conceivable that he could. Again, the Meshech Chochmah is giving a really radical pshat in Nasa v'Nishma, if you read between the lines. The Meshech Chochmah is implying that Nasa v'Nishma was not so positive. That, they rushed into it without really thinking it through. And maybe that wasn't the best thing for them to learn. He doesn't say that. But again, maybe one could put those things together, because again, a question asked by all the Rishonim is how you reconcile the two Gemaras. One Gemara, the mouth on the same page. One Gemara says that God forced them into accepting the Torah. The other one says they were so anxious to accept it, they said not the Benishma. So which one is it? Did they jump into it, or were they forced into it? So again, you could say that their alacrity, if you understand Nasa Benishma it's a little bit of a criticism. You know, Jewish people attack are being criticized a little bit for rushing into it so quickly. So maybe you could put that together with Kofalim HaKigigas. It's not the best thing that they rushed into it, and maybe they rushed into it because of a feeling of duress, maybe. Right? Again, he doesn't make that point. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but, you know, perhaps Alda al Pidarko, you know, you could interpret it.
Such one of our celebration is an interesting one. The first time they said Nasa and Nishma, you didn't expect anything. They saw the Nisim that the Rabban Shimon did.
Right.
So they did it. But now the second part, Nishma and Asa, and Bechapra and Hakigas, because the Rabban Shimon wanted to make sure that the future Dairus, they can accept it. So that's what the Bechapra and Hakigas.
Right. Right. So again, there are many, many different ways to reconcile the two. But again, what's striking about this Meshech Chochma is the notion that Nasa v'Nishma is not necessarily to the credit of the Jewish people the way he understands it, or whatever. You can't say it's not to the credit of the Jewish people. The Gemara says that Malach and Asharis came down. They gave two Ksarim. They gave two crowns to the Jewish people when they said it. I mean, it's impossible to say that it's not to the credit of the Jewish people that they said it. But, you know, Meshech Chochma was just pointing out, but there is a downside to the fact that they said Nasa v'Nishma, because maybe had they thought about it a little bit more, they would have been stronger when the Egel Azov temptation presented itself. Right, so that is, we say, Milah Shem Eli is from the Egel. So in other words, since the Kohanim and the Levim stuck with Moshe Rabbeinu by the Maaseh Egel, and they didn't go over to the other side.
Now,
right.
With the acceptance of the Torah on that night together with Moshe,
Right. That is what the Meshech Chochma is saying. I mean, that's Mamash what he's saying. In other words, that since this is a renewal of the Bris, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kohanim and the Levim, who never left the Bris, are uniquely able to allow or to, you know, ask the rest of the people whether they want to accept the Bris again. And the way in which they're asking them to reaffirm the Bris is, as opposed to last time where you rushed into it, this time give it a little bit of thought. Haskes, listen. You'll be attentive. Now, what does Haskes mean? So he teaches it differently, not be attentive like the art school translates it. But the Zepirush Haskes, Oshin Socho Yiske, right? Haskes is related to the word Soche, which means Loshin Havoto, to look at something, right? Lamashal, you know, Yiske, right? The Chumash talks about one of the names of sorrow was Yiske. Why? Because socha b'loshen of the Ruach HaKodesh, she saw things b'nevuah. We had Megillah just not so long ago, right? So to be socha, right, is to see something, and to see something with depth, to see something with perspective. Haskes, he says, doesn't mean to listen, it means to look into, to analyze. Think about the Torah that you're accepting. Don't just jump into it, right? You jump into it, you can jump out of it. When you analyze it, when you think about it, when you really decide that you're committed for real, that's when the commitment you make is going to be an eternal commitment. Right? Lashon habata, in tuchlu lavod bo, v'zeh habata iyunis ve'omek ha'inyan. Again, to be socha means to really analyze and contemplate something in all of its depth. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu the Kohanim were asking the rest of the people to do. This is a bris you don't want to rush into. This you want to think about carefully, because again, this is going to be eternal. And the implication of the Meshech Chochma is that this non-rushing into it was the more successful bris, because after all, this bris Jewish people stuck with. This they stuck with. They didn't run and make an eagle right afterwards. So again, the Meshech Chochma is implying very strongly that haste taka makes waste. You know, in other words, as great as it was that Klal Yisrael jumped into Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, you know, in the end of the day, in the long run, a thoughtful analysis and appreciation is better over the long term if you want the guy to stick into it. I mean, that's truly, we know from our own experience, you know, in terms of people as they become Baalei Tshuva, right? The guy who is non-frum, you know, is eating treif and being Mechal Shabbos one day, and then the next day he walks in, and, you know, he's davening lessons three times a day, saying Tikkun Chatzos, saying Tehillim, Dundakyomi, and he swung from one end to the other rapidly. So the third day he'll come back in and he'll be back eating treif again. Sudden movements are usually not a good sign. The guy who gradually adds an observance here, an observance there, he thinks about it, he's contemplating, he's going slow, slow and steady wins the race. I mean, that's mamish true, and that's, as Shechachma is saying, that was ultimately what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to impress upon this new generation as well. Don't jump into it, think about it before you get into it.
This is the being addressed here. That's the
door that's right, this is the end of the 40 years. So this is not the door that made the ego. This is their children. The children of the door that made the ego.
Are they reaffirming the bridge because Klal Yisrael, they originally became the ego? Or is it, and it's really the same Klal Yisrael, except that,
I thought it was the former. Because if it's a new door, so every generation should have to make a new bris, right? In other words, we see Klal Yisrael as one collective, even though it's different people at this point. But in other words, the Jewish people as a collective have broken the bris with Hashem by the ego. And here the Jewish people have the opportunity to be able to reaffirm it. Okay, once the Mesh Chochma on page top tefes, the facing page, the bottom on the left hand column. So in Perek Chav Ches, the brachos of klalos, and as the pasuk the Torah introduces, if you listen to the mitzvahs, if you listen to the mitzvahs, so then all these brachos are going to come upon you, Baruch Ata Bo'ir, Baruch Ata Basada, etc., etc., etc. And however, if you don't listen, pasuk Tesvav, v'hayoyim lo sishma, v'kol Hashem Elokecha, if you don't listen, so then terrible curses are going to come upon you, the curses of the Tochacha, which of course we know is in this week's parasha. So Shechachma sits for comments on one pasuk in particular that comes up over here. If you take a look at pasuk Yudalid, which is the very last pasuk, everything up until pasuk Yudalid is an affirmation of the brachos which will be bestowed upon Klal Yisrael if they do the will of Hashem. Again, starting with Pasuk Aleph, if you listen to God's voice, God is going to make you supreme over all the nations of the world. You're going to be blessed here, you're going to be blessed here. Right? Everything up to Pasuk Yudim, right, you're going to be on top, you're going to be the head, you're not going to be the tail. And then Pasuk Yedalud, V'lo sasur mikol hadvar v'asher anochi mitzaveh eschem hayom yomin u'smo. However, you should not deviate from all the things which I command you today, not right or not left, v'leches acharei Elohim acherim la'avdam, to go and walk, to follow other gods, to worship them. So, on that last pasuk, the Meshech Chochma says as follows: "Bigmara b'Avasur Peitet Amud Aleph Berachon B'Shmona V'Hayoyim Shemoa Ad Le'Avdam." The Gemara in B'Avasur identifies eight brachos that are contained in this section, and the Gemara B'Avasur identifies this last pasuk: "V'Lo Sasur Mikol Advar Mashanochi Nesav Esem." You should not deviate from all of these things which I command you, not left and not right. That pasuk is counted among the brachos which are promised the Jewish people. It says in the Shechachma v'Tamua. That's very strange to count that last pasuk as a bracha. Hazet snai habracha ki sishma v'lo sasur. That's not the bracha. The bracha is things like you should be blessed in the city, you should be on top of all your enemies. It's not a bracha. This is a tnai. This is a condition. The brachos will befall you if v'lo sasur mikol advarim, if you don't deviate from all the things which I'm commanding you left or right. That's not the bracha. That's the condition for the bracha. Right? So why does the Gemara Bava Basra count that in the list of the brachos? So he has a beautiful explanation of the pasuk. The Ira Barun seems clear, he says. The hach v'lo sasur hu bracha al bitul avodah zara. Hainu yitzra the avodah zara. When this pasuk says v'lo sasur, we call that do not deviate from all of these things which I command you, right and left. To go after other gods to worship them. It doesn't mean, in the Joseph sense, do not deviate, but it's a promise. If you do everything right, I promise you that you will not deviate and worship other gods. What kind of promise is it that you will not deviate and worship other gods? So this, says the Meshech Chochma, is a hint to the idea that the Gemara says that ultimately the rabbis were successful in nullifying the Yetzer for Avodah Zarah. We've talked about this in other contexts. I can't speak for any tzaddikim here, but I know I myself have many, many Yetzer Haras, you know, to go do all kinds of Averas. We won't list them here, certainly not for the audience which is listening, you know, on the recording. But of all the... What's that? You're not Makabal, okay, good. Baruch Hashem, you're not Makabal, good. So, but of the various Yetzer Haras which I have, I don't really have Yetzer Hara to go out there and be Ovid Avodah Zarah. You know, I mean, worshipping statues is not really my thing, you know. And the emphasis is for all of us. Hard to imagine what the big draw of Avodah Zarah is. So the Gemara says... What's that? Yeah, okay, so, you know, they're modern-day equivalents of Avodah Zarah. Okay, but I mean, certainly the kind of Avodah Zarah, which seems to have been rampant throughout the time of the Tanakh, it just doesn't hold anything over us anymore. Why? So say Chazal, says the Gemara, because Chazal, at a certain point, destroyed the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Right? So we no longer have that temptation anymore. Where's that idea hinted at in the Chumash? Says the Meshech Chochma right over here. Because if you do the will of Hashem, I promise you, that the day will come where lo sosur, we call on dvarim, lo leches acharei Elohim acharim lo avdom. I promise you, that you will not deviate from the words of Hashem to go worship other gods. That's not a condition, that's a promise, that's a bracha. I give you a bracha that the day will come where you won't have a Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. That's what's hinted at here in the Pasuk, that's the bracha. And says the Meshech Chochma, v'zeh Eretz Yisrael, the ability to overcome the Sahara of Avodah Zarah is something which starts, I don't think it only extends to Eretz Yisrael, because again, we don't feel it either, but the destruction of the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah is going to be uniquely linked to Eretz Yisrael, because as the Pasuk itself says a few psukim earlier, k'mo she'amar ha'osircha Hashem l'tova, Al Ho'adama, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says that God will enable you to stay as a remnant for good. Al Ho'adama, Hashem Yishvah Hashem L'Avosev L'Avos Islach, in the land that Hashem has promised to your forefathers. So this whole promise of the uprooting of Avodah Zarah is also uniquely tied in with the S'chus of Eretz Yisrael, which at a certain point was, again, it took a while. I mean, it didn't take till, it took till the time of the Bayis Sheni period. But at a certain point, the S'chus of Eretz Yisrael was so overpowering that it even bestowed the bracha of Bittul Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, of nullifying that particular Yetzer Hara.
But isn't really the Pasuk saying here that if you do your part, in other words, if you don't worship Avodah Zarah, then eventually it will be destroyed and you won't have a Yetzer Hara anymore. The crowd of Israel will do their part because if they did,
yeah.
I don't know if
we're... But that's the bracha. In other words, it's not a condition, it's a bracha. If you do your part, ultimately, I, Hashem, promise that I will get rid of the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. It's a tremendous bracha.
But did they do their part? Because a lot of people, many years that they did worship Avodah
Zarah. Right. So I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, you would say, according to Meshech Chochma, that this promise was fulfilled on the basis of those times where they did do what was right, the time of Chizkiyoh, the time of Yoshiyoh. You know, the fact that the Jews came back with Ezra to reestablish the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, whatever schusim the Jews had from those positive experiences, Hashem took and channeled and used that as, you know, as the bracha to eradicate the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Right? I guess that's what you're going to have to say according to the Meshech Chochma. One last point, and I just want to see this. If you take a look, the very end of the Pasha. Erech Chavkes, Pasuk Gimel. After the Tazuchar, Vayikra Moshe called Yisrael, Moshe called the entire Jewish people together, and he says, you've seen everything that Hashem did in Mitzrayim. And then Pasuk Gimel, he says, "V'lo nasa Hashem lochem leiv l'das v'gaim l'ros v'zayim l'shma arayom hazeh." But God hasn't given you a heart to really understand, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear, until today. What? What's special about today that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, look, you saw everything that happened in Mitzrayim, but you didn't really have what's going on until today. What's today? What's today has to do with anything? Chorinyon, so says Moshe Chochmo, ki biyanti bekama mekomos. I've already explained in many places, ki tolz b'nei Yisrael bekama mekomos hayo, ki choshvu Yisrael, lit l'moshe, l'poel me'asmo l'kocha elokia shofea bo hivdilo min ayotze. A recurring problem that the Jewish people have had, and this is a point that Moshe Chochmo has made in a few places, is that the Jewish people were very much, had a problem on numerous occasions deifying Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? That's, they deified Moshe Rabbeinu by the ego, because the disappearance of Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming back, sent them into a tizzy. Right? They deified Moshe Rabbeinu potentially, you know, by the rock. In other words, when God says, speak to the rock, and he hits the rock, and what he does works. So we saw that Moshe Chochmo before. He says, well, now the people think, oh, so God says one thing, Moshe Rabbeinu does something else. Moshe Rabbeinu must be a deity on par with God himself. Right? So there's this constant fear that because Moshe Rabbeinu is such an unbelievable individual, the people are going to see him as a deity instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, v'hulo hayarach leperlei lokim. Of course, that's not true. Moshe Rabbeinu was only God's instrument to convey the words of God to the people. The davar itol odas hanagel leklal bnei Yisrael. Ve'epol ro ki Moshe me'atzma eno manig ve'eno shofea me'uma. What was the day on which the people finally realized, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is just an instrument in the hands of God, and he's not some kind of independent deity? The day on which Moshe Rabbeinu died. Right, v'yom shemes Moshe. When he died, so they realized, okay, he's human. He's not God. He may be a godly individual, he's Isha Elohim, but he's not God himself. He's not a deity. He's not God in a human body or anything of that nature. We daven to Hashem, we don't daven to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is just an instrument. He's just, you know, he's just telling the people, he's a great person, he's an unbelievable person, he's the greatest Navi who ever lived, but he's not God. Right? That point, which is so crucial to the hashkafa of the Jewish people, that point is only really brought home to the Jewish people when Moshe Rabbeinu dies. Right? Because only then they say, oh, I guess he's human after all. V'rach rosen ha-bore ha-kayom v'shlemus v'loshino hi-omer v'gozer ha-mashadei. It's ultimately only the will of God which controls the universe. This paragraph at the end of the parasha was said by Moshe Rabbeinu on the day on which he died. It's only today, Hayom Hazeh, that I'm going to die. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I know I'm going to die later today, says Moshe Rabbeinu. So God only gave you the ability to really have, to really understand the nature of godliness today. Because up until now, my very existence, again, you know, you can't help this, but my very existence, says Moshe Rabbeinu, has gotten in the way of you really appreciating the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because instead of thinking God, 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 you think Moshe, 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 Moshe. Now that I'm going to die, in a paradoxical sense, I'm paving the way for you to really appreciate the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You saw the incredible miracles in Mitzrayim. Why didn't that convince you? Yeah, it convinced you of the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? It didn't necessarily convince you of the greatness of Hashem. But now that I'm going to die, so retroactively you'll look back and you say, oh, I guess Moshe Rabbeinu was just God's servant, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself who is the one who has been doing all of these nisim v'niflos up till now. And now we understand that it's ultimately in Hashem that we put our trust, and not in any basar v'dam, not in any flesh and blood, even a basar v'dam on the madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. The final lesson, says the Moshe Chachma, that Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Jewish people, he taught them by dying. Right? That was the final lesson. you know, that it was hard to have a final exam after that one, right? Certainly the teacher wasn't going to grade the final exam. But the final lesson that Moshe Rabbeinu taught to the Jewish people was his dying, you know, his death in itself was a lesson for the Jewish people that had an impact that went throughout the generations.
Was the fact that there was a need, an inherent need in Klal Yisrael to believe in Moshe, by the name of Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, in other words, that you had to believe in in order to believe in Hashem, you have to believe in Moshe, not as a human being, but you have to believe in him. Did that create the crisis or the problem? The fact that the Chazal needs to believe in Moshe in order to believe in Hashem, did that get in the way of them believing Hashem exclusively?
I think just the whole nature of everything that went on. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu is this larger-than-life figure. Who's, I mean, the instrument who's performing all these things, he goes up, he talks to God, you know, he's on Har Sinai, bringing down the Torah, he's fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he saves them from annihilation numerous times, he's doing miracles, you know, he's the man. And it would be so easy, and apparently it was easy, to think, well, I guess it's all about Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not about the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, I mean, God we don't see. God is this invisible force. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one we really relate to. So the truth is, it's easy to imagine under those circumstances that the Jewish people would come very, very close to deifying Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, I don't know if there's another way to do it, right? I mean, obviously, if Hashem had another way to do it, he would have done it that way, right? But, you know, but at a certain point, the Jewish people have to get over the Moshe Rabbeinu complex and realize that it's all about Hashem and not about Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, well, that's Hashem. We'll pick up next week with Pashas Tetzavim Vayelech.